When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello dear listener, please subscribe to our channel. Enjoy watching. In order to support my family, I work diligently. My job involved installing UPVC windows, both in private single-story houses and in large multi-story buildings. I executed my work with precision, which garnered me many orders. Thanks to this job, I had saved up enough money to buy our own private house. I lived there with my wife, Mary, and our 11-year-old son, Jacob. Mary worked in a beauty salon. She was well-versed in the nuances of her profession and held a good reputation. Mary enjoyed her work, but above all, she had a passion for art, particularly paintings. Mary possessed extensive knowledge about different drawing styles and great artists. She, too, desired to learn how to paint. However, she had never dared to pursue this interest before. When Jacob was born, she put the idea on hold indefinitely as there simply wasn't enough time. But now, with Jacob growing older, Mary found herself with more free time and decided to enroll in an art school to start learning how to paint. Mary was truly enamored with her new hobby. She only regretted one thing, not having started it much earlier. At first, I saw nothing wrong with it. However, as time passed, Mary began spending more and more time at the art studio. "Mary, I wanted to talk to you," I said one evening. "What's wrong, Ethan?" "I understand that you're passionately engaged in your new hobby, but you're coming home later and later. Your newfound interest is taking up a considerable amount of your time. Don't you think so?" "Darling, what are you talking about? I've finally started doing what I love. I don't even notice how time flies, and the most important thing is that I'm making progress. My teacher, Kevin, says I have real potential. I don't expect to become world famous, but at least I'm becoming a successful artist in my own right, and I love it." "Listen, Mary, I'm glad you're finding success. But you're coming home too late. I've come home several times, and there's nothing in the fridge. Nothing's been cooked. Your newfound passion is causing you to forget your household responsibilities. Ethan, do I look like a housemaid to you? I'm not going to spend all my free time in the kitchen. You can cook for yourself, you used to do it well before. Over time, you took on that responsibility, and now I have to drop everything just to ensure there's a plate of soup on your table. Mary, what's gotten into you? Why are you speaking to me this way? I'm not asking for anything unreasonable. I agree that cooking shouldn't take up all your free time, but we can share the responsibility. You've just completely abandoned it in favor of your new hobby. It feels like you're no longer interested in our family." "What nonsense. What are you saying? I love you and Jacob dearly, but as soon as I found this new passion, you started nagging me. Nothing bad is happening. Kevin says I need to work harder to achieve great results." "Well, Mary, I don't know your Kevin very well, but I have a bad feeling about him. I understand he doesn't have a family, so he can indulge himself by drawing all day and telling everyone how wonderful it is. But you've forgotten about us. It seems like you don't care about your own family anymore." "What a ridiculous accusation. How can you say that? I love you and Jacob so much, but now, as soon as I found a new passion, you're giving me a hard time. Nothing serious is happening. Kevin says I need to work harder to excel." "Mary, it's like we're speaking different languages here. You're outright refusing to hear what I'm saying. Pursuing a new interest is fine, in fact, you deserve more time for yourself, but not to this extent. It's as if you don't see any boundaries anymore. But most of all, I'm irritated that I have to explain all of this to you right now. It's just not right. You should be able to see things clearly. Right now, it's as if you're behaving like a teenager. And you're acting like an old, grumpy man. All you do is nag me. Mary, I work diligently to ensure we have everything we need. It's through hard work that we now have this private house. We moved from a cramped apartment to a spacious house. It didn't fall from the sky. I'm exhausted, and I want to see a housewife at home, not someone who disappears into the world of painting for days on end. I understand, Ethan, that you're very tired. Fine, I'm sorry, I overreacted. Okay, I'll make sure to manage my time better to spend more time with the family. Thank you, Mary, that's all I wanted to hear. Mary's reaction and behavior were completely incomprehensible to me. I couldn't understand how mere painting could captivate someone so strongly that they would almost renounce their family. I was deeply troubled by this. Additionally, Mary's teacher, Kevin, worried me greatly. He was rather odd. I had met him a few times, and he talked a lot, showing special attention to my wife. I hadn't thought much of it before, but now my thoughts were increasingly uneasy. After all, Mary spent a lot of time with this overly affectionate individual. But I didn't know what to do. I only knew one thing: if I ever saw him making advances toward my wife, I would utterly destroy him. One day, I went to pick up Mary from her studio. It was quite late, and there was no one there except Kevin and Mary. "Are you two the only ones here?" I asked them. "Yes, Ethan, but don't worry, your Mary is in good hands," Kevin replied. "What do you mean?" I asked with confusion, furrowing my brows. "Ethan, I apologize if my words were misconstrued. I'm only interested in your wife's talent, nothing more. So, I hope you're not jealous. I simply want her to explore her potential to the fullest. She's making progress. Such talent shouldn't be abandoned." "All right, guys, I'll go change, and please don't argue while I'm gone," Mary said and went off to change. "Ethan, I'm going to grab something from my office, and then we'll close up the studio," Kevin said hastily and left me alone. I began to walk around, examining the paintings in the room. Then, I stumbled upon a stack of paintings in a corner, covered with a black cloth. My curiosity got the best of me, so I removed the cloth and started going through the paintings. Suddenly, I found a painting that left me in shock. The painting depicted my wife, completely naked. I was stunned by what I saw. Just then, Kevin returned. "You bastard! What is this?" I exclaimed, glaring at Kevin. "Ethan, calm down, it's not what you think," Kevin tried to reassure me. "Are you out of your mind? That's my wife, completely naked. Come here, I'll show you some real art," I said, grabbing that scoundrel and pinning him against the wall. "What's going on here?" Mary rushed over to us. "What are you doing here? Why the hell are you naked in this painting?" I asked Mary. "You've got it all wrong. Let Kevin go. That's not me in the painting." "How can it not be you? It looks exactly like you. What are you trying to tell me?" "Ethan, let me go, please. It really isn't Mary. It's my student. That painting was done long before I even met Mary," Kevin explained. "Are you taking me for a fool? How can another girl look so much like my wife?" At that moment, Mary accidentally knocked over a can of paint, which spilled right onto the painting lying there. "Oh, darn it. Kevin, I'm so sorry, it was an accident," Mary exclaimed. "It's all right, Mary, don't worry. It's not the last painting," Kevin replied. "Mary, you did it on purpose," I said. "Ethan, have you gone completely mad? Why would I do that?" Mary replied. "You deliberately did it to hide your face on the painting. But I remember it clearly," I insisted. "Ethan, please calm down. You're just confused. Sometimes, paintings can resemble people, but it definitely wasn't me. I love art, but not enough to undress in front of an artist. This is just insane. Are you trying to drive me crazy? I saw with my own eyes that it was you." "No, Ethan. That's not the case. You're mistaken. It wasn't me. Let go of Kevin, and let's go home." I released Kevin, and we left the studio. "Ethan, what the hell was that you did back there? Mary asked, outraged. I've already explained everything to you. I found that damned painting and thought it was you. I replied. Ethan, I don't like the way you're acting. Do you really think I would do something like that? Stop reacting this way to Kevin, he hasn't done anything wrong to you. I still don't like that guy. And I dislike even more that you two are alone together. Tell me honestly, is this creep hitting on you? Damn it, Ethan, calm down. No one is hitting on me. Kevin is just teaching me, that's all. I can see what's on that guy's mind. He's not showing interest in you for no reason. Ethan, you're getting on my nerves. Are you going to suspect me everywhere we go? What's happening to you? I'm perfectly fine. I just want you to stop attending those classes. All right, Ethan. You've come up with a bunch of unfounded reasons why I shouldn't go there. But the real problem is in your head. I'm not cheating on you, and no one is hitting on me. So, let's just calm down, and you back off. I don't want to talk anymore. Let's just drive home in silence, Mary said. I was completely confused about what was happening. Either I was really going crazy, or they were just taking me for a fool. It was just a disgusting feeling that would not leave me. I couldn't leave everything as it was. I felt that something was wrong here. So I decided to follow Mary. I wanted to see with my own eyes what they were really doing here. When Mary was getting ready for her workshop again, I followed her. I left my son with a neighbor. He had been asking his neighbor's son to spend the night for a long time, since they were good friends. And I left it there today. I drove up to this damn art school. It was not difficult to get inside unnoticed. There was no security here. I calmly went inside unnoticed and hid in a secluded place. And then the moment came when the rest of the students left. Only Mary and Kevin are left here. Mary sat near the canvas and painted a picture. At that moment, Kevin approached her from behind. He began to praise her, but at the same time his hands fell on Mary's shoulders and he began to massage them. Anger and rage were already boiling inside me. Then I was just dumbfounded. At one point, Kevin's smooth movements turned into sharp and daring. In an instant, this freak tore off Mary's clothes and threw them on the table. He nervously hurried and took off his pants, and at that moment Mary calmly spread her legs in front of him. That's it, bitches. You've finished the game. I came out of my secluded place and headed towards these bastards. Frightened, Kevin got tangled in his dropped pants and fell. I started grabbing all the framed pictures and smashing them over his head. Take it, bastard. Now I won't stop. You'll get yours. I screamed and beat this bastard. Ethan, please stop. Frightened Mary screamed, covering her nakedness with her hands. Enough. You guessed wrong, lying creature. I just began. I took a break from beating Kevin. Near the paint rack, I saw a large can of paint thinner. I grabbed this can and opened it. Now, you bastards, tell me. What will you choose? Drink this paint thinner? Or will I just spray you with it and set you on fire? Ethan, please don't. Do not do that. Mary whined. Clearly, you don't want to choose. Then I'll decide for myself. I said and started dousing them with solvent. Then I took a lighter from my pocket and lit it. Tell me, Mary, it was you in that picture. And all this time you lied to me and fucked with this bastard? Yes, Ethan, yes. I really am a lying creature. I lied to you and it was me in that damn picture. You shouldn't have seen her. I didn't know how it started happening between me and Kevin. I feel very guilty before you. And I don't know how to fix it. I'm sorry, Ethan. Forgive me, please, I beg you. Mary said. At this time, Kevin was generally in a complete stupor of fear. He lay on the floor and trembled. He couldn't say a word. I stood with a lit lighter and looked at them with hatred. But then I came up with a better idea. I turned on the video on my phone and made them with bare asses and trembling hands collect all the paintings and accessories, and take them to one place. Then I doused all that smear with solvent and set it on fire. Then I gathered all their clothes and threw them into the already well-ignited fire. Her lover even wet himself from fear. I watched this spectacle and I was so funny and a little sad that my wife had traded me and my love for this cowardly misunderstanding. In a fit of rage, I even wanted to burn them in that fire of justice. But then I calmed down a little and said, "Do you know what? Go to hell, both of you. I won't be a killer and your executioner. Life will definitely punish you itself. Live. Mary, I don't want to see or hear you anymore. You destroyed everything good that was between us. There is no forgiveness for you and there is no longer a place in my family. Get the hell out, I don't want to see you again," I said and left from there. At first I had thoughts that my wife's lover would take revenge, but when I remembered how he wet himself with fear, I became very amused and realized that this is a very cowardly man and he is incapable of doing anything. I sent the video of the whole show to all our family and friends. It just ruined her life. But I didn't feel sorry for her at all. She deserved it. Anger and despair tore me apart. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was a terrible feeling. This betrayal was simply killing me. But I found the strength to return to normal life after some time. It wasn't easy at first. But after I divorced Mary, I began to realize that I shouldn't dwell on it, because life goes on and you need to think about the future, not the past. She was unhappy after our divorce. Her life was literally falling apart before her eyes. Mary lost her job, her home, she simply found herself at the bottom and no longer hoped for the best. I still had the picture that Mary painted in my house. She drew this picture from a photograph of Mary, me and Jacob. This picture reminded me of good things. So I decided to talk some sense into her. I made an appointment with her and told her that if she didn't change her lifestyle, I would hire a lawyer and terminate her parental rights. She was very frightened and it worked on her. She slowly started to get out of the shit. But I just decided to leave all the troubles in the past, but I couldn't do this completely until I forgive Mary. We were no longer husband and wife, but this did not stop us from communicating and raising our son. As for Kevin, that cowardly jerk stunned me. One day the doorbell rang. I opened the door and saw Kevin. He knelt down and burst into tears. He said that I could kill him right here. His conscience tormented him, he repented and asked for forgiveness. It made me laugh so hard I didn't even know how to react. I told him to go in peace and never show up outside my house again. I told him that I was not interested in him and that I had already forgotten about him and his behavior. After that, Kevin thanked me and left. And I began to feel joy in life again. It became much easier for me after I let go of the past. All people make various mistakes in their lives. But there is no point in wasting life on grief, and I did not live in the past. And now my life was devoid of any regrets. Let's hear a story in which our hero learned of his wife's infidelity from his 14-year-old daughter. This will be interesting. Let's hear it. I'm a 44-year-old male who recently discovered that my wife, a 39-year-old female, has been cheating on me. A few days ago, my 14-year-old daughter told me about the affair. I reassured her that everything is okay and that her mother and I will explain it to her. I'm considering telling her that her mother and I have an open relationship to keep the truth hidden so it doesn't seem like she cheated on me. I've been going through the motions, feeling numb. My wife is still staying at her parents' place and barely communicating with me. Now I understand why. Maybe if I confront her about the affair, she'll end it and come back home. We have a good life together, and we're good for each other. I feel like I'm just rambling on right now. If this happened to my brother, and I saw him talking like I am now, I would grab him and give him a reality check. I've seen movies, heard stories, and watched shows where couples talk about overcoming infidelity. I used to think they were foolish and should just get a divorce. I always said I would never forgive my wife if she cheated on me, but now I find myself in the same situation and sounding just like those people. So far, from what I've seen, it was just emotional involvement and exchanging explicit photos. But my daughter discovered many pictures, and I've only seen about four of them. There are at least 30 pictures in total, and as I go through the remaining photos, I fear it will confirm that my wife has been having this affair for a long time. And it raises doubts about whether my daughters are biologically mine. If I make this public, it won't just turn my world upside down, but it will also have a profound impact on my daughters. I don't want to hurt them in that way. I only eat when my daughters are around to maintain the illusion that everything is fine. But when I'm alone, I feel nauseous and tremble. This isn't just some teenage relationship, this is the woman I've built my entire life with. Deep down, I know what I should do, but I don't want to face it. I have 5 kids, but there's a chance that 3 of them, maybe even all 5, are not biologically mine. The twins and the one my soon-to-be ex-wife is pregnant with. I'm still waiting for the results to confirm. I know she's still involved with the guy who might be their father, and it's likely that he'll want to be in their lives once the divorce is finalized. But I love these girls with all my heart. I've been their dad for 5 years. Every time I hear their voices and see their smiles, they bring so much joy to my life. I know it might sound foolish, but I genuinely care for these girls. After a while, the DNA test results are in, and it's not good news. The twins and the newborn are not biologically mine. I confronted my wife about the affair, and while she expressed remorse, she doesn't regret it because she loves the other man. Shockingly, her parents were aware of the affair long before I found out. They were actually facilitating their meetings by allowing my wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, and her affair partner to meet at their home. It's baffling why her parents would assist her. Instead of being decent people, they didn't want to risk facing humiliation, especially considering their heavy involvement in the local church. Additionally, they didn't want to separate the twins from their biological father. My 14-year-old and 10-year-old kids are currently staying with my brother and sister-in-law. I just don't have the emotional strength to take care of them right now. They harbor strong resentment towards their mother and refuse to communicate with her. Both of them are undergoing therapy to help them cope. I attempted to take the twins with me so they could be with their sisters, but my wife strongly opposed it and begged me not to. As I was leaving, I noticed the AP, affair partner, heading towards my in-law's house in his car, so it's likely that he's with my wife at the moment. AP was also married, and I've been in touch with his wife, who informed me that she's filing for divorce. I haven't asked her if AP has made any efforts to reconcile, and honestly, I couldn't care less. Screw him, screw my wife, screw my stupid in-laws. I always thought my in-laws were uptight **** holes anyway. I'm actually glad they're facing social isolation and being shamed. My mother-in-law and father-in-law have been expelled from the church, and it seems like the church's social media page has deleted any trace of them. I take pleasure in their humiliation since it's the one thing they were most afraid of. Mother-in-law called me crying, asking me to fix the situation, as if there's something to fix. Father-in-law wanted me to work things out, but I simply asked him if he would be so eager to reconcile if he were in my shoes. He responded with silence before hanging up. My wife keeps trying to contact me, but I'm ignoring her. I can't help but feel a little satisfaction seeing how desperate she is to reach me. I have no idea what she wants, and I'm in no rush to talk to her anytime soon. I know I'll have to eventually, though. Before I received the results, I was ready to take her to court and fight for custody of the twins. I feel pathetic. Going to work is a struggle. My co-workers look at me with pity, and I've stopped grocery shopping altogether. I can sense people staring and whispering about me since this whole thing came out. I've lost around 15 pounds. I can hardly sleep at night, and therapy doesn't seem to be helping much. This has been the absolute worst year of my life. Sometimes I wish I'd kept my mouth shut in the car a few months ago. If I had, I could be enjoying time with a newborn and decorating our home. The house is so quiet. It should be filled with the sounds of my daughters laughing or arguing. I should be busy changing a diaper. I should be hearing my wife belting out tunes, trying to outdo Mariah Carey. The house should smell sweet and feel warm. Dirty diapers should be wrapped up in a bag, ready to be thrown away. I should be wearing a smile, laughing, and enjoying life. This house should be bursting with happiness and vitality. But now it's just cold, empty, and silent. It feels like everything I've done was in vain. I had a tough childhood, and all I wanted was a happy adulthood. But it seems like I can never catch a break. I always end up losing. I don't feel like a man anymore. I don't even feel human. Update, all this soul searching and regret. It's like being trapped in a maze with no exit. But then a change comes, a revelation, a moment of clarity. Life doesn't have to end here. My life doesn't have to end here. I'm not my failures. I'm not my broken marriage, and I'm definitely not defined by my wife's betrayal. The realization sets in. The harsh truth that my wife wasn't the person I thought she was. Instead of living up to her vows, she used her parents' house as a den for her infidelity. And her parents, who I thought were our well-wishers, are no better, providing her and her lover the space to tarnish our marriage. After everything that happened, the divorce was inevitable. I won the custody of my two daughters, and we set off on a new journey. I changed my number, packed up our lives, and moved to a different state to start anew. I wanted to give my children a fresh start, away from the toxicity and the memories of their mother's betrayal. Life's been better. I started rebuilding our lives step by step. I created a safe and loving home for my daughters. I returned to work, invested myself fully in it, and in time, the pain began to dull. My girls resumed school, and slowly we found our new normal. Meanwhile, I heard news from my old friends that my ex-wife was struggling. She was left with the twins and a newborn. Her affair partner vanished after the divorce, and she had to move back with her parents. She was trying to get in touch with me, asking my friends about my whereabouts. But I'd moved on and decided to never let her back into my life. She deserved to face the consequences of her actions. It was clear that she was struggling, and I couldn't help but feel a sense of satisfaction. She had brought this misery upon herself, and it was her own doing. It felt like a taste of sweet justice. But then I couldn't ignore the fact that the twins and the newborn were caught in the middle. They were innocent in all of this. However, I had to remind myself that they were not my responsibility. They were the responsibility of their father, the man she chose over our family. Overcoming the betrayal was tough, but every day brought new strength. I saw my daughters growing into strong individuals, and their happiness became my solace. As I watched them, I felt a sense of accomplishment. I had been their rock during the most turbulent times, and I felt proud of how well they handled the changes. In the end, I realized that it wasn't me who lost in this whole scenario. I found my strength, my peace, and a second chance to live my life on my terms. On the other hand, my ex-wife lost a loyal husband, a loving family, and a peaceful life. Now, as I sit in my new home, my daughters playing in the next room, their laughter echoing around, I realize that I am far from defeated. I feel more like a man than ever. A man who faced adversity and came out stronger. My ex-wife's betrayal didn't break me, it made me. This is the new reality, the reality I chose, and it is one I wouldn't trade for anything. Let's listen to the last story in this video. It's going to be very fun and entertaining. Myself, 26 years old, male, and Tormenta, 26 years old, female, from school, want to go out. Can people really change? And if so, how much? There's no other way to say this. She was a bully to me in middle school, humiliated me early in high school, and thankfully ignored me our senior year. She was always the popular cheerleader type, and when we were in middle school, she would verbally bully me and make fun of my appearance whenever she could. She led a group of girls who wrote fake notes to me, took photos of me in Photoshop, and did all sorts of vile things, plastering them all over the school. When we were in the 10th grade, she catfished me, although there wasn't even a word for it back then. Eventually, she got me and another guy to meet each other after school, both of us thinking that there was a cute new girl in school who liked us. Needless to say, both of us became the butt of jokes for the rest of the school year. Finally, by the middle of our junior and senior years, she thankfully forgot I existed. Fast forward to the present. I'm parking my car and getting ready to go into Wendy's for lunch when I hear my name being spoken by a person directly behind me. I turn just in time to see my tormentor coming in for a hug. My first reaction was to run because of our previous dealings with each other, but she is quicker than I am. She stands there chatting in line with me like we were the best of friends, reminiscing about grand old times that never existed for me. She and I lived two very different high school experiences, I assure you. She, the popular girl, and I, the social outcast not even cool enough to be accepted by the nerds and hipsters. So I get my food. I was planning on eating there, but since it was apparent that she and the woman she was with were eating there, I got mine to go. I wished her well and tried to bolt out the door, all the while losing whatever appetite I had. But before I left, she asked me for my number, and like an idiot, I gave it to her. The next day, I get a call from my sister. By the way, while I love my sister, she also lived a very different life than I did in high school. In fact, I think my tormentor idolized her. She was a grade ahead of us. My sister says she got a call from Lady Voldemort wanting to know all about me. She said she was asking all sorts of questions about my life, what I was doing, and if I was seeing anyone. I told her that I had run into her at Wendy's and that I am sure that this was some form of elaborate scheme of hers. My sister said I was a dumbass and that we were grown adults and that I needed to see what was right in front of me. I, of course, responded by saying that what was in front of me was Lucifer on Earth. Sure enough, my phone blew up that night with texts from a strange number. It didn't take long to deduce that it was her. She started with small talk about how great it was to see me again and how wonderful I looked. Then she went into asking me why I never asked her out in high school. I nearly flushed my phone in a toilet from that one. Now mind you, she is saying all of this in texts without me replying at all. Finally, I responded back with, "It was nice seeing you too." Within a minute of hitting send, my phone was ringing. I guess she decided that my response was good enough to give me a ring. She asked me out for a date this Friday night. Here's my dilemma. From an outsider's perspective, she is gorgeous. I mean a solid 8, maybe 9 on a 10 scale. However, whenever I hear her speak or think about her, I can't see her physical attributes. I see visions of hell on earth, with her riding in some fiery chariot being drawn by black horses that snort smoke and fire. I realize that I am being overly dramatic and in my real life, I am long past being socially awkward. I stare down drunks and assholes every day at my job. Did I mention that I was a police officer and when I was at Wendy's I was on the job, and generally, I'm not afraid. She, on the other hand, makes me want to crawl under my bed and not come out. Is it possible for her to change? What the hell do I do with all these repressed emotions that I obviously have pent up from years and years ago? She is either oblivious to what she did to me or does remember and is trying to forget. Since I told her I would go out with her, I have gotten several texts about looking forward to Friday. My heart races every single time I get a text from her, but not from a romantic butterfly in my stomach kind of way. What does the group here think? Has anyone else ever had a mortal enemy become a date? Update 1, it would not be fair to either of us for me to go into Friday night with her and ambush her with problems from my past. So I gave her a call this afternoon and invited her to a late lunch tomorrow when she gets off work, which she was thrilled to do. I plan on talking with her then about things, and we will see what happens from there about Friday night. I am either setting myself up to be the world's largest douchebag or I'm going to get burned again. Her acting all giddy every time I talk with her does make me feel like as**** for holding on to the past. I just plan on easing into the conversation, and I'm going to be very specific about the catfishing thing. I know for a fact she was behind that one, and that is the one that hurt the worst. I'll let you guys know what she says. Update 2. I arrived early enough so that I made sure to be there before her so I could pick out a secluded spot for us to talk without interruptions. She got there about 15 minutes after I did, right on time, by the way, and she spotted me and came over to sit. She was just beaming and had a huge smile on her face from the moment she came in the door. It honestly made me feel like a creep who was laying in wait to ambush her. But when she started to talk, her voice sent cold chills down my spine because even though she was saying nice things, it was still that voice that I remembered from years ago, and that helped steel my resolve. She was saying how thrilled she was to meet with me today and then how much she was looking forward to Friday night. At this point, the waitress came to take our order, causing a natural pause. I decided to wait until the food came so that we would not have any further interruptions, so we just made small talk. Food came, and I took the shot. Simply put, I just asked her why she was now interested in me when all during our school years I was less than a dog to her. Yes, I said dog because, well, just because. She actually teared up a little but, to her credit, she didn't cry or anything at this point. She goes on to say that she knew when she did the catfishing thing that she had gone too far. She stated that she had no good reasons for doing anything other than she was very immature and very wrong. She then went on to tell me something I had no idea about. I guess the other guy who she tricked with the catfishing scheme did not take it as well as I did. She said about a month after she did that, he physically attacked her one day while she was leaving cheerleading practice. She had a fractured jaw, contused lungs, and two broken ribs. I knew she had missed some school, but at the time, I had no idea why, nor did I care. She then said she never came to apologize to me for it because after that she was afraid, and did everything in her power to avoid me for the rest of our time in school. The other guy transferred out before that school year was up. She did make what I thought was a really heartfelt apology to me. I am usually a decent judge of character, and believe me, in my line of work, people lie to me all the time. You pick up on traits, and she either is one of the best liars I've ever come across or she's genuine. We then talked about middle school, and while she admitted to some of the things that happened, she let me know that some of them were not her, but girls who she was hanging out with at the time. Some made sense, others were irrelevant anyway because it was the catfishing thing that hurt the worst. She never tried to bolt out of the cafe, nor did she ever avoid eye contact. After a few minutes of this, I decided that my honor had been satisfied, and that I would change topics. What started as lunch ended up as an entire afternoon and early evening together walking and talking. Man, has she ever had a rough time since high school? She was actually very down to earth, not at all like I imagined her being. Of course, my imagination of her before then was her speaking with a forked tongue while chanting scriptures from the Book of the Dead. The main takeaway I got from today is that she is genuinely interested in me. She admits that the uniform from the other day was a turn-on, but that she wants to get to know me for me. Which sounds cheesy when I read it typed out here, but when she said it, I was kind of impressed. Honestly, this was a great day for me. I got closure, I got a heartfelt apology, and at the end of the day, once I got past thinking of her as the daughter of Satan, she was actually a decent person to talk to, and yes, I now see that she is incredibly attractive. By the end of the evening, she was all smiles again and telling me how she hasn't felt this close to someone in a long time. She actually gave me a goodnight kiss. Anyway, Friday night is on for sure. Final update, hey gang, thought I'd give you what should amount to being the final update on this. Went out with her last night, and things could not have gone better. Honestly, I had fun with her, not the way you are thinking, by the way, sick bastards. And we stayed out way later than either of us planned. Thank God I didn't have to go to work today. This wasn't a normal date for me. Generally speaking, I tend to end up in bars and listening to crappy music all night for some woman who I really don't connect with. In many ways, this was surreal because I was having the time of my life with a person who up until 48 hours ago, I had spent well over a decade either dreading, fearing, or hating depending on the day of the week. We went bowling, and it was her idea. I haven't been bowling since I was a teenager, and you could tell. She laughed at me because of how bad I sucked, but all I could do was laugh with her because she wasn't making fun of me. She was having a great time. After that, we went to eat, and she demanded to pay because she said she asked me out, which is the first time in my entire life a date has offered to pay for my meal. I was taken aback at first, but the more the night went on, the more I appreciated the effort she was putting into the night. The more we talked, the more we found that we had in common. I got the most passionate kiss I've ever received in my life as we said goodnight. I'll be damned if I didn't feel like I just lost my virginity again when she did that. I can't even explain it or how I felt. We are going out again tonight. My idea, by the way. At this point in time, I think I can close this out because I am positive of my own question now. I don't know if everybody can, but she certainly has changed, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her more. Late edit, I'm not going to make another post just to say this, but Saturday's date went better than Friday's date. In fact, I'm just now home from her house. And the only reason I'm home now is because I have to pull an extra shift tonight that I can't get out of. We plan on having dinner together Tuesday. If you enjoyed this story, please like and leave a comment. It's important for us and will help promote this video. Thank you for watching us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.